So the story of what happened in the Gauri Amart post 1937 begins pre 1937. There was disagreement and rivalry prior to that. There was I heard from Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu and others that prior to 1937 there was an underlying rivalry, or whatever you want to call it, disagreement between one camp headed by Kunja Bihari Prabhu and another camp, headed by means unofficially, by Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu. So that's well known. Then, after Saraswati Thakur passed away, there was, for a short time, there was at least a semblance of unity, because Ananta Vasudeva was elected as the Acharya with the consent of all, at least according to the statement in the Gauriya. Everyone supported that. When was that? That was just, must have been, what, a few weeks after Saraswati's passing? I don't remember exactly. And how our group...
A congratulatory letter from Kunja Bihari Vidyapeetha.
Right, yeah.
Even published there in Gaudiya.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Now, according to what our Guru Maharaj said, it was Sridhar Maharaj's idea that there should be one Acharya. That Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur himself had said that there should be a governing body formed. I think a governing body was formed also, wasn't it?
Management of institution. Mm.
That was formed after Saraswati Thakur's passing.
I don't know exactly. Mm. Probably it's something like that existed, but not in official form.
Yeah.
And later on, it gained some official status.
Yeah.
As per Saraswati Thakur's rule.
Yeah.
And there were some issues with property because it was not registered on Gaudiya Math or Gaudiya Mission. Mm. Though it was registered privately, something with Saraswati Thakur, I believe, something with on the name of Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan, Paramananda Vidyaratna.
Uh-huh. They were actually registered in those names.
Yeah.
And it's well known that Saraswati Thakur said that as long as he lives, Kunja Bihari should administer the properties.
He should be the head of GBC. That's how I know it.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember from Srila Chidananda Maharaj's recollections, first Ananta Vasudeva, some of his close associates, offered this acharya post to himself, to Chidananda Maharaj, because he was sannyasi at that time.
Mm. And Ananta Vasudeva's associates,
him personally or through some mediation, they thought of making Sridhar Maharaja be a charger of the institution, probably because of his first sannyasa status, secondly his panditam, and third that he was close to Srila Saraswati Thakur during the last days. And
and he was considered saintly in a way that others maybe were not considered so saintly.
Yeah, probably he had this reputation.
Yeah.
Undeserving.
And ambitious.
Yeah. But he refused and he insisted that Ananta Vasudeva was entrusted with Siddhanta issues.
Mm.
And even preparing Srila Prabhupada's Harikatha for Gaudiyas or for Nandiya Prakash. He was the last person, even after Saraswati Thakur, to review and edit and make any changes and so on, and then it will go into print. He would trust him with that. He would also, himself, Saraswati Thakur, he would also review, edit, and make corrections and suggestions. But then, last
he would
person,
again go to to Vasudeva.
And he was the author of so many things which were published, or the, not under the name of Srila Saraswati Thakur, but officially from Gaudiya, without without any
no authorship.
Like editorials and Bhagavata translation.
Yeah, he and Sundarananda also. Sundarananda wrote a lot.
Yeah. Well, Sundarananda was more into periodicals work.
Yeah.
And Rantos left more into some fundamental publications like Bhagavatam and so on. Maybe not himself, he had also a board of you know, translators and writers. But he used to guide them.
Yeah.
And to make final edition.
Yeah.
Reduction of that.
So you mean there was a board of translators for the Bhagavatam?
Yes, I believe so, but it was all overseen, and most of the book was done by Ananto, so that was, as far as I can understand, different sources.
Now, the idea that there should be one Acharya, that apparently came from, was mooted by, was by Sridhar Maharaj. Of course, it would be, you could say, almost an obvious idea. It's what happens in most religious institutions, that, and that seems that idea was accepted by everyone. And then Ananta Vasudeva was voted, even though he wasn't a sannyasi. He was very senior. He never accepted sannyas. He was never offered sannyas or accepted sannyas during this. It's surprising.
Well, he said accepted later.
During the time of Saraswati Thakur.
Well, I believe that Saraswati Thakur's time, it was not the indispensable requirement for
prestige,
being senior,
yeah,
for being the leader.
Yeah, it seems like that. Maybe those
some grihasthas were also in the leading position, like Goswami Maharaja, who was called Goswami Maharaja even while he was a grihastha.
Yeah, maybe the sannyasis, they were the ones who they were particularly entrusted with going out and preaching, and they were given, if I think about it, many of them, where they were the ones who were actually leading preaching parties, and for that...
Well, Anantosudha was always by the side of Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah.
Not so much into his own doors, preaching programs.
Yeah. So sannyas was especially given for those who were going out and preaching. So that may be why he didn't take sannyas. Keshav Maharaj and your Guru Maharaj, they were also offered sannyas, even though they weren't outgoing preachers so much, but they both didn't take it until later. Okay. So then Ananta Vasudeva was still as a brahmachari. He was appointed as the acharya. Everyone accepted that. But it seems like a short time after that, Kunjabihari Prabhu dissented. Not very long after.
Yeah, maybe only a few months passed. The chronology could be reconstructed from Gaudiya's easily. I believe the matter was that Ananta Vasudev's party, maybe it not was like an organized party, but some his circle. They started to overstress that Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan was more like a utility person, you know, taking care of management and arranging things, stress that he was seen by Shri Saraswati Thakur in such he was given such a role according to his capacity, you know, like management of resources.
Having attained a position officially higher than him, they kind of rubbed it in on him, it seems.
I don't know the reasons behind it. Probably that was already a kind of answer to something, to some claims from Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan's side. He also had some claims to do, because his intimacy with Srila Saraswati Thakur, especially in the early days, is well recorded in Saraswati Thakur's letters.
Although at the end it appears that Saraswati Thakur was quite upset with him over his smarta shrad for his mother.
There was such an episode. Still, the letters Srila Saraswati Thakur was writing to him were like father calling back his son, like that. Not the kind of rejection. You know, khandanam.
Not rejection.
He usually did for Aprasiddhanta or some misbehavior.
So there was a latent split, and it became prominent. And also Ananta Vasudev, after accepting the role of Acharya, he brought in various innovations. When did he accept sannyas? After?
I believe in 38,
well, after the trouble in the Gauriamatha had already erupted.
Yeah.
He accepted sannyas by sitting before a picture of
Saraswati
Thakur. He didn't take
it. In Gaya, as far as I can remember. Like that. I had a thought that, Ananta Vasudev's circle, they had many, you know, what is called, many facts to use as an accusation towards Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan. The fact that he, at one time, when Gaurimath was just starting to develop, he left Srila Prabhupada and went to serve in a post office somewhere abroad.
Iraq, yeah. Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia is nowadays Iraq, yeah?
Yeah, I think even at that time it was called Iraq, but the old name is still used.
Yeah. Mesopotamia, I remember it.
Yeah.
So, and he did that without warning Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
And against his... apparently against his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
He did that to repay some of his family debts.
Mm-hmm. Although it stated that he used his family's money for financing
the mission. Yeah, he used, and then he had to give it back. He didn't want to take it from Gaudiamath's treasury.
Certainly doesn't seem like, if that's the actual story, it certainly doesn't seem like the worst thing, although it's, I guess, to go away without your guru's permission is also.
And that Shrat story.
Yeah.
And there was one story publicized later on that probably Ananta Vasudev considered Kunji Bihari to be too much familiar with their guru.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not feeling or due respect in his presence. And one time he even he was sitting in the presence of Srila Saraswati Thakur, sitting on a chair, but that's probably okay, but he was sitting with the one leg, how to say it?
Folded over
another.
Very casual.
Yeah, which is considered to be...
Oh, with the foot pointing towards Saraswati Thakur?
Well, the very posture is considered to be disrespectful. I heard that even nowadays in Thailand, this posture is considered to be offensive amongst ordinary people. Yeah. So, and then Anantosudev, as account goes, I don't know what was the fact, he came closer and slapped him on leg and rebuked him for sitting like in this way in front of Acharya.
So some
little facts, but they show the
problem. Because Ananta Vasudeva at the beginning was put under the guidance of Kunja Vihari at the very beginning.
There was no Gaudiamath yet at that time.
Yeah. And there were accusations of Kunja Vihari Prabhu also stealing, utilizing the funds of the Gaudiamath.
All capable managers, they keep their own accounts. You know, some black accounting is sometimes a necessity, I believe, because not everything could be done both effectively and efficiently.
So, although it is said that when they visited the house of Kunja Vihari in Joshua district, everyone was surprised at how broken down it was.
His country house.
Yeah, his family home. So, then at some point Kunja Vihari broke off.
Yeah, he probably, as I remember, at night. Maybe not at night, but very...
The innovations, first of all.
I don't think that there were much innovations at that point of time.
Came a little later, yeah.
Although Shoshidamash, he remembers that some subtle deviations he started to notice on the very early stage. But still he stayed with Anantosudev because he had a hope that that could be corrected.
He was a more Shastric kind of person, it seems. Oh, Kunja Vihari, he also was knowledgeable in Shastra, really not. His interests seem to be more on the management side. From the Gaudiya, we can see that after Ananta Vasudeva was the Acharya, his lifestyle radically changed. Well, I guess it would be because he was all the time with Saraswati Thakur anymore. But he took up that role of the Acharya. He would have big receptions, and he was advertised as the Acharya. His lectures were written in the given in the Gaudiya. He took up that role. There were receptions, maybe not at the train station.
Well, there were some receptions probably in the beginning of his Acharya career, but as I read later on, he tried to make everything very, very simple.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things he later on started accusing Saraswati Thakur in was that gorgeous, you know, and opulent worship of Acharya he introduced in Gaudiya Math.
He said this after he left the mission. So
maybe in his later years of staying in the mission.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't that long in the mission after Saraswati Thakur, first of all, is it?
Nowadays, I thought I could reconstruct the chronology, but I don't know. Well, it could
you
be easily reconstructed.
Should be able to reconstruct, yeah. Now, Kunja Vihari Prabhu left and started his own rival mat in Calcutta, in Chetla. one area of Kolkata. He rented a house or something.
What occasioned that? Are you aware of it? What caused him to do that?
What was the immediate, you know, yeah, impetus? I don't know. It is not. I'm sure probably I didn't read too much of the opposite side and in Panji Bihari Vidyabhushan.
So where could you read that? I mean, the official site was in Gloria.
They very soon they started to print Sri Gaudiya, which was not as frequent as. Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan and those devotees who left.
Oh, the Sri Gaudiya came from Kunji Bihari?
Yeah.
Oh, you got copies of that scandal also?
Don't know exactly. But then later, after they started printing Sri Gaudiya, immediately what we call now Bhak Bazar, or Anandos, yeah, that was good, they also started to print Sri Gaudiya as a supplement to Simply Gaudiya. Like to
counter.
Yeah. So that meaning that this is a real Sri Gaudiya. Mm-hmm. And it belongs to Gaudiya Mission. At the time all the property was under Anantosudav.
That's the
custody. But because of some law, you know, some details, subtleties, I don't know exactly what, but it was still opposite side had some claim.
Well, apparently there was some scrap of paper that Sazra Thakur had written that the three trustees were Kunji Bihari, Paramananda, and Ananta Vasudev. And on the basis of that, because Paramananda sided with Kunji Bihari, then on the basis of that, later the properties were given 2/3 to Kunji Bihari and 1/3 to Ananta Vasudev. So, but it's not clear what the cause of the, I mean, the immediate cause was. There was definitely a bad feeling between them.
Well, it could be, you know, deducted from the fact that first publications, first articles in Kunji Bihari's Sri Gaudiya were mostly on the subject of him being not just a capable manager and so on, but close associate of Saraswati Thakur, who knew his, yeah, and Guru Pradesh, that book also, who knew his Manohishta, like now the details.
So, he started out with a small group, but eventually he had, I don't know at which point, but he had supporters, Bharati Maharaj, who had been out of the mission before Prabhupada left and came back in the last days just to see him, it seems. I'm not sure exactly what that was all about, but he was...
Well, this was never elaborated upon.
Yeah, because he passed away shortly anyway after Saraswati Thakur's passing. He was old and sick. But sannyasis and leaders who supported him were Kunja Bihari. In the beginning, I don't know. And some of them supported him. Gorgunananda was one of them. He maybe wasn't such a big name, but I remember his.
Some sannyasis were there. Well, don't remember the names. I can't remember the names.
Yeah. And Hayagriva Prabhu went with, at least at some point he went.
It happened later, when future Keshav Maharaj and future Madhav Maharaj and Shushdar Maharaj, they left a little bit later. And since that they didn't so much join Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan Prabhu, but they supported his they thought it is healthy for the mission to have to for mats and all these properties in Mayapur, etc., to be under his custody. Probably at that time some changes started to happen in Gaudiya Mission and Anandusudha. So they started getting more and more dissatisfied with that.
The changes were there. He was introducing what we might call more traditional or orthodox Gaudiya practices. That was there. Such as rolling on the ground when...
There were probably some Siddhantic changes as well.
What were the changes of achar, praxis, rolling on the ground, offering danda?
Most of these, Ashtanga danda was for women and...
Where does that come from? It's not part of standard Gaudiya culture. I mean, you do...
Probably it is from some traditional, you know, not...
Maybe in Borishal, where Anandavasudev was from. I never went to Borishal.
Well, but paying sashtanga dandavats with the upper part of the body.
Oh, the body, the upper part of the body should be open.
Open, yes. Well, it is there.
I stayed in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Hari Bhakti also. Yeah. I believe some pramana is given in Saraswati Thakur's commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita.
In that part where the Shrikant, the boy, comes.
Yes, yes. And some other things... which seemed to be aimed on, you know, fighting the mechanicity, if there is such a word, of worshiping process.
The formality
and like that. For example, I saw in Gaudiya Mission that it takes much time, much more time for them to offer bhog in the noon than in Chaitanya Math or many other maths. They sing the song, but song is quite short. And then they wait for some time.
They means Gaudiya Mission.
Gaudiya Mission, yeah. Before opening the altar and doing arati, they wait quite a considerable amount of time. That's the amount of time required for the adult person to take his meal. And if you just offer for the time bhoga arati song lasts, that's quite a short amount of time. So
Atmavasana is half an hour for the that's the standard for the bhoga.
This I believe seeing this word
that's maybe taken from
Atmavat seva, as you would do to yourself, so should you serve the deity or Vaishnava Acharya. This conception was introduced in Gaudiya at that time, probably in Sundaranda Vidyavinoda's article, also by somebody else. Atmavat seva.
And there was also Brahmacharis would wear cloth without the kutch.
Yeah, I don't know exactly at what point of time that came to be. Ultimately, they rejected saffron or girova clothes at all. For brahmacharis, at least. I don't know about Audhavan Maharaj. He gave up his sannyasa clothes because that was the condition put by Ananta Vasudev, who was already out of mission at that time, him to meet him. He earned to meet him. Ananta Vasudev was staying in Vrindavan as a Grihastha, and he left Gaudiya Mission. And when Audhavan Maharaj asked through some
medium
whether he could meet him or not, he was given an answer that yes, but not in saffron. So he gave up danda and sannyasa clothes and took Babaji there. And from that point of time, he kept
the title Orulomi Maharaj. He was known.
Yeah, he was given sannyas by Saraswati.
Yeah.
So it was not so easy for him to give this up.
Mm.
But that came later.
That's later, yeah. So there were various changes in ritual and practice. And then in the Gauriya mission, and then Siddhanta also.
Siddhanta, but I'm not so much aware what was there nearly one year and a half after Srila Saraswati Thakur left. What were the changes in Siddhanta? Because Gaudiya was still publishing unpublished Harikatha by Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah.
And since that pretty much was the proper line, but probably some points about guruship, opulent puja for acharya, and probably these points were starting to be introduced by Sundarananda and Tanantusa. Like that. When
Ananta Vasudev's strong supporter was Sundarananda, also Nishikant Sanyal.
Nishikant Sanyal, he left very soon.
One year,
I believe.
Was it?
About 1 year after Saraswati Thakur.
But he was, from his writings, it seems he was much involved in the. In the mission activities and trying to hold it all together down there in Cuttack.
Well, I believe that after probably during the last days of Srila Saraswati Thakur's presence on this earth, and immediately after he lived like a Madhavasi, he left Paris and he stayed in Kolkata and was engaged in mission activities, publishing, preaching, and his attitude towards Anantosa that seems to be in the same, the same kind of guru bhakti as towards Saraswati Thakur.
That might have been. I'm speculating now, but it might have been that Ananta Vasudev was seen like that, or may have required of that from his godbrothers also, because that happened in ISKCON after our prophets passing away. It was accepted. The idea was that, well, now he's the Acharya, everyone should respect him as the Acharya. But that didn't go down well, and that was a cause of a lot of problems. People agreed in the beginning, but they didn't like it in the longer term.
I remember now one encounter between Shridhar Maharaja and Ananta Vasudev. It was probably Ananta Vasudev. He didn't mention his name, but it seems that it was him. Shridhar Maharaja used to quite often recollect in his conversations. So it happened at the time of Saraswati Thakur. And Ananta Vasudev was speaking somewhat, with some contempt about astronomy.
Right, well, that was during the time of Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah.
In the presence of Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah.
The Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Bhagavatam. Yeah. About Rahu and Keta and that.
Yeah.
In the light of modern science.
Yeah, Sridhar Maharaj didn't mention who it was, but it's quite clear that it's an interpassage.
He was mentioning some very knowledgeable god brother who was supposed to be very close to.
It's quite clear that it's an interpassage.
Also, Ananta Vasudev was more discussion man, as an expert in disputes, immediate refutations and counter-argumentation. That was Brande Vidivinod. He was more, you know,
more expert in the written,
in writing
research.
If he would face some opposition, he would rather, you know, step back, but then write Pratyavada and something like that. Not so much a public person, not with so quick reaction.
Then, all right, so we have this scenario, and then there's two groups, and then some court case we can make at some point.
That's quite a... We started probably from the very day when Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan left Gaudiya Math and settled separately. And to support his claim for Bagh Bazar Math and for other maths, some small groups of his followers had, I don't know for what, for what reason, for some formal reason necessary for the court or something like that, but some small group of his followers had to stay in each math. In Bagh Bazar.
And they hated the.
Yeah. By law, they couldn't be driven away. But if their opposition managed to drive them away, then they would get some advantage when the case is considered. Something like I don't know how. What is the mechanics of that, but. That was required.
For legal reasons.
For legal reasons. One of the persons who stayed in Bagh Bazar was Bhaktisharan Trivikram Maharaj, who later took sannyas from Madhav Maharaj. I served him for a short time in Madhav Maharaj's mat. So he said that they employed some bundas. They used to stay for the whole day in a closed room, not going away, and even, you know, passing urine in the bottle, something like that, because they could not go out, not to, you know, lose the territory. And some bundas were employed, and when once he went away to take bath or something like that, he was severely beaten, but still he remained there. So that
these kind of things went on in Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu's biography. There's some account of him that when some attack came from the other side, it had been awarded in the court, or they were trying to take it over physically, because possession is the law. Right there in India, so it says how he wasn't going to leave, he was prepared to die if necessary, he was ready to fight. This physical violence was there also. It was very, very bitter. It was very, very bitter. So, the court case was, and when was the court case settled?
In '40s, somewhere in '40s, in the middle of '40s, I believe.
So it went on for quite some time.
Yeah. At some point of time, in spite of Keshav Maharaj and others staying separately from Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan, although they had some common festivals and celebrations, functions at that time, but they stayed separately and already started to accept disciples. Still, they were supporting him in this struggle. And Shridhara Maharaj is the most neutral of all, and the least ambitious.
He was also living separately.
Yeah. He stayed with Keshav Maharaj, but afterwards, after some differences in opinion regarding worship or something like that, probably Keshav Maharaj installed Jayan Vijayas as the gatekeepers in the math, and he objected to the idea.
He had a math at that time?
Yeah, he already had this Navadip math.
Devananda Goran.
Koladip, yes.
He got a big property at that time.
Maybe it was not so big at that time, but well, he was always an enthusiastic preacher and you know, capable collector. And because he installed Jayan Vijaya, which that much he objected, he's saying that they are worshipable for us, but you put them to guard our doors, like that. Maybe some other differences.
It's a common thing in temples all over India. And Jayan Vijaya at the entrance. At this standard.
Somehow or other he left, but he kept some connection, correspondence with Keshav.
Shridhar Maharaj, throughout his life, he would from time to time criticize things that from the Siddhantic viewpoint that was going on in the Devananda Gaurīya Math. And it's still going on.
So he was a mediator between Kanjibihai Vidyabhushan School and Ananta Siddhartha.
There was some report that Ananda must have said, "I'm not, you just take it all," something like that.
Probably when he was already about to leave, he could say that. Probably it was his consultants and associates were of another opinion. It's worth noting that Kunjibihai Vidyabhushan, he started to give diksha very, very late. At the time when Keshav Maharaj and Goswami Maharaj and many others already started accepting disciples and so on, he didn't have even a single disciple.
Who was initiating to that group? I mean, people must have been there. Were they preaching? People were joining?
Well, there were many devotees and madhavasis and grihasthas from Saraswati Thakur's time in his group. And
many. Why did they join him? And they were also dissatisfied with Ananda Vasudeva.
Yeah, probably because...
Or they had respect from an earlier time for...
For different reasons.
Yeah. Although generally it seems that the respect went to Ananda Vasudeva as being a very spiritual person.
But he was very tough also, right? Ananda Vasudeva was very cutting.
I don't know much about his personality.
Him and Sundaranandan,
there were some dissatisfaction with his conduct, personal conduct also, like his taking manual service from ladies.
And Ananda Vasudeva,
yeah.
When after he became Acharya or before?
It seems that even before the time of Saraswati Thakur, something like that took place. Not fall down or anything, but he was taking message or feet message from ladies and son or something like that.
Really? In the time of Saraswati Thakur? Seems inconceivable that could have happened.
really happy.
Well, that is, so to say, tradition could be seen in Gaudiya Mission even nowadays. They are present Acharya. He's
present Acharya is Hrishikesh Maharaj?
Hrishikesh, maybe Hrishikesh, yes, Maharaj. The one who comes after Bhaktishiru Bhagavad Maharaj. I don't know about Odon Maharaj or Bhagavad Maharaj, but present Acharya sometimes is seen. It's not that he's hiding, it's in the open place, but his feet are being messaged by some ladies while other ladies chant Chaitanya Charitamrita or some other Bengali verses.
Narayana Maharaj, I don't remember now, but he definitely used to also as a devotee, more than one devotee told me that the first time he'd seen that. But it seems very difficult to think that Sarasvati Thakur would allow that at all. I mean, that's reminiscent of the Jat Gosais, that they would have such a thing.
Well, who knows?
You say that he was criticized for that. Yeah, I can imagine he was criticized for that.
That could be considered from the part of Acharya as a kind of mercy given to disciples. But it was against Sarasvati Thakur's mood and instruction, that's for certain.
His practice and precept, of course. Oh, well, that in itself you could imagine would be enough to cause a lot of discontent. I mean, in ISKCON, even today, if the news came out that a sannyasi was getting his feet massaged by women, it would be, you know, scandalous. So that was going on, and then at some point he accepted sannyas, Ananta Vasudeva, and then at some point he left the mission and got married. He married to Shivadavastava's daughter.
Shivadavastava Vastava,
yeah.
Yes, he married his daughter. This is all. This also. The you know the presentation of that fact, what is called press release now, is there in the Gaudiya. Probably these are some last year of Gaudiya existence as it was. Gaudiya also became more scholarly.
Yeah, it's very noticeable how it became less polemic and very. Academic
they project. Started to unite. It ceased to be weekly, probably because of lack of resources or news. They started to publish like issue from 25 to 30, like that.
Yeah.
It was formally weekly, but in reality it was monthly.
Another thing, Ananta, talking about the scholarly, Ananta Vasudev, he hired many pundits producing critical editions.
Well, we would call it an exemplary critical edition of all the granthas, all the books written by Goswamis and some other major.
Which they were not available, maybe, were they?
They were available, but the patha, that means the standard, the text wasn't standardized. It usually contained many prakshipta, future, later interpolations, and variant readings were not established, which is. Mula Patha, and which is a variant, and which is just a mistake, mistake by a scribe.
So he hired, using the funds of the mission, he hired scholars to start that work.
They lived in Bagh Bazar, they were provided with room and prasadam and money for going different libraries, private and government libraries.
They were paid to do
the they were paid and facilitated in all possible ways.
And that drained a lot of the resources, the money of the mission, I guess, and the effort, which became a strain on the mission.
Well,
it seems.
While he was there, that activity would continue and go on. Nobody could object or stop it.
Yeah.
But one pandit, Kanailal Panchatir from Navadvip, who was in this group, he was very young at that time, but already established pandit. He told me that at the very moment those would have left, the mission, the next day, Adwan Maharaj said that
it's all over, stop it all,
and we may go home, but we cannot provide for you any longer.
So that was unpopular, even with his own camp, within his own camp, it seems.
Although the result was very impressive.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody did that in Sampradaya before. And the modern pandits, or recent pandits, they all use it.
The Puridasa edition.
Puridasa edition, yes. It's used by Haridas Shastri.
It's considered the definitive edition of all the works.
Although he had a plan to make another second edition with even more corrections and more exact path. I had an opportunity to scan his own copy of Shat Sandarbha. Not all Sandarbhas, few Sandarbhas. That's this Puridas Mahasri edition. And corrections done by him on the first edition. So it is all corrections. It is. We cannot see the original text. It's all different readings are edited, and some subtleties are edited, stuff like that. So he could not finish this work. I have it in archives.
So the Shat Sandarbha that we have,
it's actually may not be the exact Shat Sandarbha still, but much closer to that compared to what was there in Gaudiya Sampradaya before.
Had anyone printed it up to that point?
With his corrections, no.
No, but had anyone printed it at all?
Yes, some Gosais, Goswamis. There were some editions. There was one publisher and translator, probably, produced many books at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. I don't remember his name. There were many books.
At Bahrampur?
Yeah, Bahrampur. But this, it's some general stand, not the
high. Not very standard. Exacting stand. Yeah. They were pushing them out, but not very carefully. Yeah, it's not.
Well, probably they didn't have a facility. One has one manuscript or a couple of manuscripts, but that's not enough to ascertain the exact.
Yeah, it's a big job and it's very time consuming and it requires a lot of patience to do that. Just for a second.
Yeah. Should I pause it?
I don't. There isn't any system.
I see.
So he was a sannyasi and then he got married. And it seems that, well, I guess I heard that he had been. Yeah, the way I heard it, he was like too close to. He was very close to some woman and this and that. But it was difficult to say no. I was also to. Yeah, that's this one devotee who told me that him and Ananta Vasudeva and Sundar Ananda, they became too much into reading all different kinds, or they reading like Radha Govinda Nath and that changed their mind or something like that.
I don't think that it was Radha Govinda Nath who influenced them. It seems even that he himself was somewhat influenced by Ananta Vasudeva and Sundarananda.
Radha Govinda Nath?
Yeah.
Influenced by their what?
By their books, maybe indirectly.
What Srimati Ramesh say there?
Well, he was a contemporary.
Yeah.
And, well, something makes me say that. Some facts or something I read or heard from Ananta Vasudeva scholars, which I don't remember exactly what.
Because he was a staunch opponent of the Gaudiya Math, very influential. Now, he got married and he went to live in, you were saying he lived in Vrindavan, but I think Azhagirahasi was living in Allahabad.
He was living for some time in Prayag.
Yeah.
And later on he came to Vrindavan.
Azhagirahasi. No, I think after he left his home.
Maybe he left his home. Well, this part of his life is
sketchy.
For me, I don't have much information, and neither did I hear anything specific about that. And I read that he spent his last days in Vrindavan, like always chanting Radha Krishna.
But he was working on the books also.
Probably he completed the project of printing these Mula works, principal works of Goswamis, already after leaving the mission. As Kanela Panchatirtha says...
You mean already after leaving the mission?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He completed the printing... probably using some private donations or something like that.
But it was started, they'd already published from the, it must have been published from the Gaudiya Mission.
No, they were published not from Gaudiya Mission.
Mm-hmm.
They were published like separately without mentioning Gaudiya Mission at all.
No, prior, even the ones that were done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think just 1,000 copies of each, something like that. Well, how many?
Not even 1,000, but 500.
500.
I'm not sure, but it seems to be 500.
Yeah, very rare now. There was another thing in the chanting. Ananta Vasudeva changed the chanting that you can only chant. You have to chant by counting.
Yeah, some kata.
Yeah.
So, not that you should chant everything by counting, but Mahamantra.
The Mahamantra, because it's a mantra.
Yeah, it should be chanted loudly, that means kirtanam, but sanketaha, always keeping count.
So that becomes like the Radhara Mantra, and that's probably someone
would say. Not exactly, because they chant Mahamantra silently.
No, but they why? No, apparently Radharaman Charan allowed that it could be chanted loudly as long as someone kept the count, something like that. How would they count it if it's loudly?
Well, sitting with beads and counting.
Oh, I see, but not in kirtan. The Hare Krishna mantra, not in
kirtan. Kirtan means loud chanting, so it's also a kirtan.
Yeah.
Japa is, there are three types of japa, and the loudest one is upamshu.
Yeah.
That means whispering.
Yeah.
The Vajika Japa is whispering.
Mm.
And then Upamshu, which is pronouncing but
very slowly.
Without sound.
Mm.
And Manasika, which is just chanting the mind.
So, what exactly was his Ananta Vasudeva's
Sankirtan of Harinam. He banned Hare Krishna mantra in Kirtan.
In Kirtan as we know it with the Mridanga Karatalas and so on.
Well, that was really a major
innovation.
That couldn't have been accepted by.
In Kirtan they used to chant different names, Govinda Gopala or one of the principal.
Hare Nama Krishna.
Hare Haraya Nama Krishna.
Yeah.
Yadavaya Nama. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimadasudan, which is there in Chaitanya Bhagavata, I believe.
Yeah. And
Sri Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Shandaita Chandra, Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, they used to chant that instead of Panchatattva Mantra, which was common at the times of Saraswati Thakur and still common Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda Shandaita Vrinda. And
because
they chant this other
Chanda wise.
It doesn't fit.
Yeah. So he introduced another one. This Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Shadvaita Chandra Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. It has proper prosody.
Well, they could have also had the Chaitanya Charitamrita Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya. Anyway, so that certainly didn't. That was seen by many of his godbrothers as being too innovatory or too.
To debate, to debate.
Yeah. So then the choice was to join Kunja Bihari, but some went separately. They didn't like Keshav Maharaj went separately. They didn't.
They supported his claim and thought that it would be better for the mission if the principal places like Jogpit and Chaitanya Math and some other maths, if they are governed by Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan, because it was only him who had a legitimate claim for these places. And Paramananda Vidyaratna, he
gave his claim to
Kunji Bihari.
Paramananda was already living at home at that time. He got married shortly before.
I don't know exactly when he married. I know he took sannyas maybe
shortly before he
before
passed
his departure.
So So Keshav Maharaj and others they didn't want to be part of Ananda Vasudev's group, and they didn't really want to be part of Kunja Bihari's group either. They started their own, or they went separately. Who went separately in the beginning? Sridhar Maharaj.
He stayed for about a year with Ananda Vasudev. Then he didn't join Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan, but he
originally wanted to live completely separately.
Yeah, he had a very secluded life.
Yeah.
Did he? And Keshav Maharaj, he started some preaching activities shortly.
Separately.
Goswami Maharaj was in London at the time of Saraswati Thakur's departure. And when he returned, he was greeted by Gaudiya mission by Ananda Vasudev and everybody else. And it seems that he didn't know the situation. For some time he supported Ananda Vasudev, but for a very short period of time. Then he also took sannyas, started separate his own mission, his own preaching.
Bhakti Hridaya Van Maharaj, I think he was one of the first to join Kunji Bihari in devotion. Although he also had some period of time when he conducted secluded bhajan and even manavratam in Vrindavan under the earth.
Yes.
not seeing sunlight, staying in what is called, how it's called, a space underground.
So really the mission, it dissipated, it became split up. And Sundarananda was a great supporter of Ananta Vasudeva. He'd been a very close friend of him from the beginning, it seems. They got along very well. They're both.
Perhaps they shared the same attitude towards Shastra and Gaudiya literature, and the necessity of doing what is proved by Pramanas.
And it seems that what was that? They didn't. They had some reservations about Saraswati Thakur. One of the things that Ananta Vasudeva is said to have said when he went away is that, or the idea was that by the such a polemic attitude of Saraswati Thakur condemning everyone, that he instilled a fighting spirit in his disciples. Therefore, they were fighting among themselves. They couldn't live peacefully. They were not humble Vaishnavas. They became more inclined toward the what you might call the traditional humble Vaishnava style. And seems that was when Sundarananda went over to the traditional Vaishnava camp, that was considered by them a great victory because he'd been there.
He returned to the same
Kanapriya
Goswami clan where he was first initiated during his when he was young.
He kept the name.
His youth in Dhaka.
Yeah. Kept the name Sundarananda. Then he went on prolifically writing
and publishing some rare works.
By his own writings also, he wrote prolifically even after, but from a different vantage point, even after he left the Korean mission.
Huge books, Paratattva Sima Shri Krishna Chaitanya, that was one of his major books in later times, about Chaitanya Tattva, where he refutes Madhva connection.
And that's also in the Chinta Veda that was heavily criticized by Keshav Maharaj in his Gauriya Patrika.
A Chinta Veda was it had something to do with Gauriya mission, probably that's the last.
That Gauriya Teen Thakur? Because I think Gauriya mission still publishes that.
Gauriya Teen Thakur, yes.
It seems to be very similar to a Chinta Veda.
Shikshatra was published from Gaudiya Mission.
Which one?
Shikshatra.
Shikshatra, they still publish that, even though it's completely out of date.
And there are some things in Shikshatra, like that Mahamantra should not be pronounced, and some things which are considered to be opposite hanta by traditional Gaudiya monks. But it was still published from Gaudiya Mission. Like that. And he published some rare works by old Gaudiya writers. Vaishnava Vandana and Vaishnava Abhidhan. Vaishnava Abhidhan is not a dictionary, extensive list.
I found it and got it scanned. There's a longer version of the Vaishnava.
And Adilila translation, Sanskrit translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila.
Do you have all these?
Scanned?
I got some.
Not scanned. The books, I believe Kamalaksha have them, or somebody who is who keeps connection with him keeps these books in Moscow or somewhere in Minsk. But now the whole library of Sundarambi Vidyanath, library means not just what he published or wrote,
his personal life,
his whole archive, yes, is recent, have been purchased by Bodhai Maharaj.
And he gave it to
Sundarambi Vidyanath's son, Vinodananda.
Yeah.
He gave it to Bodhai Maharaj.
Sold it.
Yeah. Well, sold on some conditions. Mm. But, yes,
and so. Bodhai Maharaj gave it to the Bhaktivedanta Research Center or whatever, some newly started thing in Calcutta. Some condition they have to scan it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So that must be a massive, there must be a lot of stuff. It would be a great, great research, several thousand titles. Yeah, Sundarananda was a great scholar. There's his Janma Patrika. What's that called in Bengali? His Kundali?
Horoscope.
His horoscope, yeah. Which says something like he offended his guru in his previous life.
No. That's about Bhakti Hridaya Ban Maharaj. This is from Bhrigu office. You know, these Bhrigu astrologers?
Yeah.
Who supposedly have horoscopes for all different variations, yes. Well, some of them lost, but some of them are still there. And whoever comes, they just read his horoscope compiled by Bhrigu Muni himself. Like that. So I saw, and I actually have it scanned. So Sundarambi Vidyanath's horoscope from Bhrigu office. It's not mentioned there, as far as I can remember. If it is important, I can read. But it is in Bon Maharaj's book, also the biographical book, that he also went to Bhrigu office. And he was told that he offended his guru in previous life. That's why in this life he was also, well, not rejected, but distanced away by his Gurudev, and that to redeem this offense he has to chant some Mahadeva mantra so many times. So he went to Badrikashram, barefooted, keeping Mona Brat and chanting this mantra, and then it was somehow revealed to him that he should live in Vrindavan and also perform some bravas and austerities.
Alright, so what's the story of the marriage of Ananta Vasudev, as you've heard? Seems like shrouded in mystery. There are different versions.
I know only that he married a daughter of his godbrother, Shivadavastu Avastu, Nyandasa Adhikari, who was a Vaishnavi and virgin and pious.
And Shivadavastu Avastu was. He gave the daughter willingly?
Yeah, he was his follower, and he remained with him even after he left Gaudiya Mission. Unlike, for example, Hodol Maharaj or Bhakti Pradip Tirtha Maharaj, who was his relative, I believe.
His elder brother.
Yeah. Who remained in Gaudiya Mission. Ananta Vasudev would not. I don't know much about his marriage, you know, only this fact. And the justification for his marriage. It seems that it was interpreted and still interpreted in Gaudiya Mission not just as a lila or avadhuta behavior, but as an instructive act.
Yeah.
for all the renunciates.
Yeah, he told everyone that everyone should get married, all the brahmacharis, maybe the sannyasis also. They should all get married, the sannyasis. He seemed to have a repugnance towards sannyas after that. So Odalami Maharaj stayed, Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj stayed, but Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj passed away shortly after that. He was quite old. And Odalami Maharaj, he became the acharya. You said that Kunja Bihari Prabhu made some agreement with him on some condition.
Yeah, that was described by Sridhar Maharaj, who was going from here to there and mediating between them.
Still at that time, between Odalami Maharaj also.
Yeah, it seems that final agreement between two parties, this final division of the whole mission, either it was when after Anantosudev left the mission at all, or he was not so much involved in that at that time. And Sridhar Maharaj was negotiating the deal with Odalami Maharaj. And or maybe there were some other case, it's not the only court case, probably one deal was made with Ananta Vasudeva, but still something remained undecided and not agreed upon. So he had to negotiate it with Odalami Maharaj. And he had a condition, probably that was a joint decision by Keshav Maharaj and Tirtha Maharaj, that such and such months will stay with the Gaudiya mission only if they change back, undo some of the changes introduced.
Otherwise they'd go on fighting in the court. Yeah. There was this out-of-court settlement.
And it concerned, firstly it concerned clothes, that Garwa should be reintroduced for brahmacharis. And if I'm not mistaken, chanting Maha Mantra without Sankhya.
Just returning in Kirtan.
Yeah.
And then the pictures on the altar of the acharyas, that may have been taken.
No, I don't think so. Oh, really?
Because in Bambasar the pictures are there of the acharyas, including Ananda Vasudeva.
Yeah, it's in all their branches. Ananta Vasudev is there, and Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, and Odalami Maharaj. They still regard Ananta Vasudev or Bhakti Prasad Puri Goswami, Bhakti Prasad Puri Goswami, as their acharya. But they don't go deep into his later life and his later instructions. Like they explain them off as his Leela or something like that. And don't like to dwell much on this topic. Well, what they present to newcomers and brahmacharis and so on is that he left for solitary bhajan in Vrindavan to live like to live like Paramahamsa above all the rules and English, something like that.
Well, there was an interlude where he was in married life. It seems he doesn't have any children.
His son died at the age of 10 years while he was still alive. And it seems that his followers who left the Gaudiya mission with him, it seems that he didn't give initiation or anything of that kind. I met few persons who said that they approached him even while he was in Acharya Gaudiya mission, and he sent them to different Gosais.
Jagosais.
Well, I don't know what was their philosophy, and do they, whether they fall under the upper sampradayic category of Jata Gosayas or just...
Well, I mean in general, the
born Gosayas, yes. Descendants of different parshats, parivars. So he used to send people...
Well, that must have been very disturbing to the many of his godbrothers.
While still in Gaudiya initiation.
He stopped giving initiation at some point and sent them.
Yeah.
So that must have been very disturbing.
It seems that when he left Gaudiya mission, he didn't give initiations either. And his bench of followers are there with him since the time of Gaudiya mission, since the time when he used to give Harinam and Diksha.
Well, the Fakir Mohan was his follower. He was living with him.
Was he his disciple?
Well, he was never initiated by anyone. He was his disciple, but he never got initiated by anyone. He said at some point someone told him something. And he took that as equivalent to initiation. He told me what I asked him. So Ananda Vasudeva wasn't giving initiation. His followers in Vrindavan chant Sachi Sudra, is that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sachi Sudra Gona Nam, something like that?
Yes, that's something he... A poem he wrote and...
Well, that's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, isn't it?
But he made an extensive poem out of a few verses.
I saw in the songbook. Just like Haraya Nama Krishna Jagavaya Nama was expanded by Narottam Das, he expanded that into a bigger song. So there are two branches of his followers. One, that's like the Gaudiya mission, are his followers, although they... Yeah, they still read his books.
Yeah, his earlier lectures.
Yeah. And then there's another branch who are in different places.
Centered in Bhuvaneshwar, I believe.
How did that happen? Bhuvaneshwar. The place of Ananda Vasudev deity.
And now, since maybe 10 years, they have a something like a center or property near Radhakund.
Mm-hmm.
Probably there are some other followers in some other places.
Mm-hmm.
But at least these followers from Bhuvaneshwar, I don't remember the name of. That's a big Grihastha house. Wealthy Grihastha. Maybe you saw him. He has a tumor on his forehead.
No, I never had anyone tell me.
So, they published a few booklets, like Puridas Thakur, about his biography from their point of view, which would not be accepted by Gaudiya mission, because it's quite unfavorable towards Gaudiya mission and its members. Maybe some few other booklets in Bangla and Odia.
So, eventually the Chaitanya Math had to be vacated by Ananda Vasudeva's followers. I was told that when they left, they smashed everything, the garden, the properties. They left it in a total wreck. That's what I was told.
And don't know. I never heard about that. But I don't know.
So, what else? Let's see. So, the public respect for the Gaudiya mission was largely lost, it seems. The drive they had, I mean, the tremendous drive they had
time, at some point in time, it kind of fizzled out. I mean, there were like Madhav Maharaj's preaching.
Well, in West Bengal, that's true, but they kept some position in other distant places. Like you mentioned, Madhav Maharaj, he started preaching in Assam.
Yeah.
Even at the time of Shiva Saraswati Thakur, she was there, and then he started on a large scale. So people who would come, they would have a fresh impression, not so much, not aware of all these quarrel and court cases. Probably in South India. I'm in Chennai.
No, it's even now the Bhaktivinoda is pretty deaf.
Well, at the time of Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj, it was quite an influential math, and they would invite prominent acharyas like Vishvesh Tirtha and others to their functions.
It seems to me that they would hold functions like that, but in between there wasn't much.
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know what was there, but I have read publications of photos.
Yeah.
And according to that, it was quite an energetic activity.
I heard that Hayagriva Prabhu, before he took sannyas, he was actively preaching on behalf of the what's now the Chaitanya Mata. Many of the early followers or disciples of Tirtha Maharaj who later carried forward the mission were actually brought by him. That's what I heard. Then when he left, that some of them went with him also, even though they were missionary, something like that. You'll hear different versions from different people. Bon Maharaj, he made his Oriental Institute in the center in underground. Oh, one, and then one in Madan Mohan Gera also. Gera. In Vrindavan. Eventually those things were there. One thing, some of them, I don't know how widely spread this is, they ascribe Manjari status to. Just like Bon Maharaj is known to be such and such a Manjari among his followers.
It is said that he got that revelation after staying underneath the surface in Vrindavan and performing some difficult vratas, Mona Vratam and chanting Vratam and so on and so forth. It's his personal revelation which he allowed some of his disciples to know.
And then in Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu's biography I saw that Bharati Maharaj, who was the, I can't remember his full name,
Bhakti Vivek.
Bhakti Vilas.
You mean the one who was a renunciated former disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Diksha Guru?
No. This was a disciple of Odalomi Maharaj, who after Bhagavat Maharaj, he was the most senior. He was among the followers of Odalong Maharaj, all the senior men in the mark were Odalong Maharaj, so they expected him to become the Acharya, but instead it went to a much junior man who was Bhagavat Maharaj. So Bhagavat Maharaj was only a relatively short time the Acharya, so then he went off and made his own institution. But he was given Manjari status. Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu was known as Kumud Manjari. His title given was Bhakti Kumud Jyoti Shekhar. Like that. You're not much aware of the difference.
The only thing
documented in Saraswati Thakur's letters is about Kunji Bihari Vidya Bhushan.
Yeah.
It's not so direct, not that he's saying you're such and such, but he, when he went to Mesopotamia,
he's
saying that sometimes this Manjari, I don't remember the name, Manjari, he leaves Nayanamani Manjari and she is crying in separation with her or something like that. As per our Guru Maharaj's words, there were only few, two or three like that, not more disciples who were revealed their Manjari Swarupa by Saraswati Thakur himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't mention the names.
Who they were? Sorry. And that's all he said about it.
We tried to question him further and asking who they were and were you one of them, but he just left that.
And then Ekadash Bhav and all this, was that given?
Well,
presumably if he told the Manjari status.
Probably,
because that's all in Manjari.
Probably revealing Manjari Swarupa means
the
also,
name, yeah, the name is only the, one of the
one of the details.
Yeah. Or, so, and that's all in Bhaktivinoda's books. And so Sir Thakur himself said the naam is the means, and then when one is at the, ready for that, then the guru will take you on, help you further.
In this, one of his letters, he states that revelation or some hazy understanding will come from Nam, and Acharya is there to confirm and guide further and make that more distinct and clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he actually did it with two or three of his followers. That's a very important revelation. It is there. So then Madhav Maharaj is quite active among all of them. He was very active. And later Bhakti Vallabh Tirtha Maharaj took over the mantle. Several of them were quite active. Even this, later he was a very junior man. This Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, he established quite a few months. It wasn't on the basis of seniority or anything. It was
not all of Saraswati Thakur's disciples even remember him there in the month.
Some say he was initiated by Ananta Vasudeva. No, he wasn't in the month. He didn't live in the month. He was initiated in living outside. Initiated means at least hanging out with two from Saraswati Thakur. Maybe Diksha from Sannyasa. He was with Sridhar Maharaj for some time, but then he left, and there's very acrimonious feelings between the parties of the two followers, it seems. It's surprising how Sridhar Maharaj, how Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, his followers, and Kesha Maharaj, his followers. I mean, there's a lot of tension between them. Basu Ghosh Prabhu told me that he asked Janardhan Maharaj once.
It was probably Janardhan Maharaj was Sannyasa Guru Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj.
Oh.
Something.
He gave his mark to him, and yeah, I believe he gave his mark to him. And Nityananda Brahmachari in Bharampo, he made a map. Bharampo knows, he gave that to Puri Maharaj. Anyway, I'm just relating what Vasu Ghosh Prabhu asked Janardhan Maharaj what he thought of Sridhar Maharaj, because Janardhan Maharaj was living very separate. Janardhan Maharaj is Sridhar Maharaj, politics. That was his impression. So there are different
He was not, as I said, he was a mediator, so he was involved in politics, that's for certain. He had to.
Juggling this and that. Okay. Odilomi Maharaj was, apart from taking the man, well, he wanted to stay, so even though he took over the mantle from Ananta Vasudev. Even after Ananta Vasudev went away, he didn't want to join up. Still the Gaudiya mission, they wanted to stay separate, even though...
Well, they didn't give up respect towards Ananta Vasudev. And that would be incompatible with other parts of Gaudiya mission.
And they were always, because even though different groups broke, different devotees started their own mutts, and there was maybe differences of opinion between them, but they all more or less considered from the Siddhanta point of view that they're all okay, apart from the Gaudiya Misha, Odilon Raj, which everyone considered just sahajiyas, Siddhantically deviated. Apparently, Odilon Maharaj would dance in a very sahajiya,
ecstatic.
He was famous for that. Even before, maybe, the time of Prabhupada.
Well,
they wanted to remain separate, and they have remained separate up to the present.
Present Acharya, he always has a kind of a napkin, what it's called, around his neck to wipe off. And said, since that this tradition of emotionality didn't start with him,
because the followers of Odilomi Maharaj, they're not they
have some things reserved to Acharya.
I see.
And when Acharya is there in the map, and regular routine arati is performed. Acharya, he is given also some a plate with a deep and some dhoop and some other items.
He offers that.
And he offers that in a bhavaka way. No, not in vaidhi, but in
From outside.
Yeah, from outside.
Oh, that's another thing you told me, that Ananta Vasudeva introduced compulsory dancing in kirtan.
Yeah.
That's nice. I suppose.
And rolling, maybe it's not for everybody, maybe for seniors.
Although,
probably that's
well. Well, there are different kinds of rolling on the ground. I mean, I've said some really roll and roll and roll, and others they do, one roll one way, come back, and one roll another way, and come back, and just stand up. It's not such a big show. It's like almost like a form. Almost formal.